Today in London, for reasons that will be lit up like a fireworks display in a matter of a minute or two, the London Walk's recommendation I'm making on this podcast is the London Walk that includes a boat trip over the Thames Tunnel and a train journey through it. Be sure to look through the carriage windows for the arches that once held shops under the River Thames, shops selling Victorian tourist tat. What I wouldn't give to have a piece of that 200-year-old tourist tat on one of the bookshelves in my study. Anyway, the tour goes at 10:15 a.m. every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from Embankment Tube. And you want to turn a great morning into a perfect half day. Have lunch after the tour at the oldest pub on the River Thames, the Mayflower. On a fine day, it doesn't get any better than sinking a pint on the Mayflower's outside decked jetty, looking out across the Thames, and for good measure, getting a bead on the original 1620 mooring point of the Pilgrim Fathers' Mayflower ship. And on that note, I'm going to hand over to Robert for the rest of this podcast. An internationally recognized authority on Brunel, Robert was the founding director of the Brunel Museum. He's the author of the standard books on the subject. He's lectured all over the world on the greatest civil engineer in world history. For good measure, Robert's wrestled naked in front of a wood fire. Yeah, that's throwing you, hasn't it? And yes, I suppose an explanation's in order. When Robert came down from Oxford, he was, in the first act of his career, an actor. His first film credit was playing D.H. Lawrence in D.H. Lawrence, High Priest of Love. So yes, like Alan Bates, Robert's been on the big screen wrestling naked in front of a wood fire. Here we go. Today in London history.
Today, 25th of March, is the anniversary of the grand opening of the Thames Tunnel in 1843. The Thames Tunnel is the first tunnel under a river anywhere in the world, and welcomed on this day its first penny-paying pedestrian. Brunel had objected to the tunnel opening on a Saturday because, as he put it, Saturday night is the most disorderly time of the whole week. But he was overruled by the directors, and early in the morning, visitors began to arrive in Rotherhithe, southeast London, on foot, by coach, on horseback, and by boat. A printing press was lowered into the tunnel, and the Royal Thames Tunnel paper was turned out for sale. By early afternoon, the crowds could be held back no longer, and they stampeded down the stairways long before the official opening. At 4 o'clock, the cannon fired, and the band of the Fusilier Guards played See the Conquering Hero Come. The guests, led by Brunel and his directors, entered the shaft and descended into the tunnel, walked to Wapping, then descended again and returned to Rotherhithe. At 6 o'clock, the public were officially admitted, and in the first 24 hours, 50,000 people paid a penny to enter. The following weekend, Easter, the crowds were unmanageable, with over 10,000 people an hour. And in the first 3 months, 1 million people walked under the river to the other side. The Thames Tunnel was described by the Illustrated London News as the eighth wonder of the world. If you came to London in the 1840s and there were just four things on your list to visit, the Thames Tunnel would be there. It was a wonder of the age. It was the biggest story in town. The grand opening of the Thames Tunnel in Rotherhithe. The opening of the Thames Tunnel on this day, 25th of March, 1843, was not just the biggest story in London. It was a world event. This is the first tunnel under a river anywhere in the world. This is the tunnel that changed the shape of London and is continuing to change the shape of world cities everywhere. The opening was riotous. 50,000 people paid a penny to walk through the tunnel on the first day. But the plan had been to move cargo by horse and by cart. Unfortunately, they had no money to build a ramp. So the tunnel opened as the world's first underwater shopping arcade. And a train through the tunnel today shows, faintly through the windows, the 60 arches between the north and southbound tunnel where they sold tourist hat. There were, in those tiny spaces, shop sellers selling Thames Tunnel gin flask, Thames Tunnel pin cushions, Thames Tunnel carved horn beakers, Thames Tunnel glass rummers, Thames Tunnel mirror compacts to powder your nose, Thames Tunnel nursery ware, a small plate for small people with the alphabet around it so they could learn. These were a very early example of what we recognise today at the grand opening as tourist town. But not just tourist town. In the crowds that came on this day, 25th of March, 1843, there was jostling, and though some gently sauntered under the River Thames, many, in something approaching panic, ran briskly or cantered under the river. Those who ran under the river had no time to buy any souvenir from the underwater shopping. But the enterprising shopkeepers explained as they went by, the more you buy, the braver you are. The people who ran through the tunnel had no time to buy anything. You, sir, need an armful of souvenirs that say louder than words just how slowly and bravely you walk under the River Thames. For the first time in the world, shopping was macho. The more you buy, the braver you are. Buy from my shop in the underwater shop. The first tunnel under a river anywhere in the world. The Illustrated London News called it the eighth wonder of the world. And there were thrills, spills, tourist adventures, tourist tap, and all kinds of activities and opportunities beneath the River Thames. There were sword swallowers, fiery, magician, Ethiopian serenaders, Indian dancers, Chinese singers, tightrope walkers, and Mr. Green, the celebrated bottle pantomimic equilibrium. This was the Thames Tunnel Fancy Fair. There was an organ playing dance music. Someone composed the Thames Tunnel Waltz. It was a fairground beneath the river. But more than that, as the first tunnel under a river anywhere in the world, designed for cargo, it became the oldest tunnel in the oldest metro system in the world. This is the tunnel that changed the shape of London, but also changed the shape of cities all over the world. Your favourite city, your favourite London, your favourite world city is impossible without Brunel Tunnel. The tunnel opened, extended north and south as part of the London Underground in 1869. This is the beginning of commuting. This is beginning of what the French call métro boulot dodo. Once you have a way of moving people quickly around the city, when they've arrived, then people can live further out. People can live in greater comfort, in more spacious, and frankly, in more hygienic circumstances. This is the tunnel that changed the shape of work and play and living in the great cities of the world.